Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
All right. I see some familiar faces and some new faces. We're glad to see both of you here this morning. Please stand with us. We're going to ask the Lord to send it on down this morning, to send His Holy Spirit and to send His message into this room to each of us this morning. Scott, count us off. Let's get going. So much. So kids, we got the crowd warmed up for you, so please have a seat. We've got an even special couple of songs for you now.
Yeah.
What a hard act to follow. Wow. So good to have you this morning here at Asbury United Methodist Church. Welcome. Welcome to our guests and our members today. I hope you've had a chance to look at the bulletin. We've got a lot of things going on. Just had a kind of a breather from last Sunday's Valentine's banquet and all the things that we've got going on. But be sure and pay attention to the can Give If You Can campaign that you'll see the receptacles in the back here of the Wilson Activity Center for you to bring your canned goods. You'll notice we've already been collecting the meat, and we've got the baby food and the vegetables coming up. So just please pay attention to that. And if you're like me, you're probably going to gather all 4 weeks together at one time and bring it. But we want to be sure and help out our food pantries, especially as we're beginning to go into the warmer months coming up, that we want to be sure and replenish the food pantries around here in Pulaski County. Also, you'll notice that the confirmation classes are going on. Chase is teaching his class on Tuesday evenings. It's open. Please come if you can. And those are the things that are going on in the life of the church right now as we find ourselves rolling into the heart of Lenten season. So let's be sure and stand and greet one another in the name of Christ, and be sure and also register attendance. Thank you.
Sing this with me.
You're my soul, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You're my hero, you're beautiful. still more awesome than I know.
All of you
is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
Thank you. Praise God.
It is a workout thing. Good morning. I thought I'd do a little exercising while I'm here this morning. Is that okay? Okay. So I have a question. Does somebody think that they can do this? You think you can curl it? Okay. One hand. Okay, now do 50 of them. Go. No, I'm just kidding. Who else? Who else wants to try? Please don't drop it on you. Think you can do it? Good job. So what happens if you keep doing this? You want to try, Molly? Your arms will get bigger. And what are they when your arms get bigger? What are they called? Muscles. That's right. And so you'll just get stronger and stronger and stronger, won't you? And so I was kind of thinking about that with our faith. Doesn't our faith get stronger and stronger and stronger every day? And we have to practice at that, don't we? Because there may be times when we may trust God for the small things, but we don't trust Him for the big things. And so we need to continue to trust Him for the small things so that we can eventually trust Him for the big things. So think about that as y'all get older and y'all start working out and you start getting muscles. Think about your faith, because you know what? It's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Help us grow our faith. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to go to God in prayer, I would invite you again to turn to your bulletins and be lifting those in your hearts whose names are enclosed on the prayer list, as well as others, of course, that you have unspoken prayers for. Let us go to God in prayer. Our loving God, as we are gathered in this room, already we have been witnessed by the songs of children, the melodies of laughter, the warmth of hugs and embraces of dear friends, the excitement of seeing new faces, the warmth and familiarity of being with those that, yes, we take for granted, that we see each week so faithfully in worship. But God, as wonderful as all of that is, we're mindful that being together week after week is not particularly the Great Commission. Rather, the Great Commission given to us by our Lord and Savior is to go forth from that which is familiar and to reach those whom we do not know, to share the one whom we do know, our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God, as we come on Sundays, we pray that your Holy Spirit rekindles our hearts, fills our souls, and energizes us that we go forward in this week and the week after and the week after that, being thankful for knowing that we are saved in Christ, being thankful for the practice of grace and mercy, and being mindful that then we are to go and to share that with others so they too may know the great relationship, the great life, the abundant life in knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. In this season of Lent, when we particularly are focused upon the sacrifice, O God, of your Son and our Savior Jesus, we are mindful that we too can give up something. We can give up those things that tempt us. We can give up the focus on the world. We can give up the concentration on gaining more and more, more wealth, more things, more baggage. We can be mindful that we give to the world as Christ gives to the world his love. And in this season of Lent, we understand that there is a season that goes on no matter what the calendar says, and it's of sacrifice, protecting our rights to be able to worship freely. So we lift up all those in various forms who are sacrificing to protect us. And God, as we think about the suffering of your Son, we think about the suffering of those now who are hurting, fighting the diseases, adjusting to a diagnosis, coping with illness that will not go away, and clinging with all their might to hope. And again, that can be a part of our Great Commission, is to encourage hope to all we see. So God, we offer this prayer to you most humbly. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, the greatest teacher of all time, who taught us because we did not know how to pray. As we pray together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings today, may we just be mindful of those whom our gifts honor. Jesus Christ and all of God's children. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we pray that you will take these gifts that we offer now most humbly and use them for the productivity and the growth of your kingdom. And that it's wonderful that we don't know who will receive these gifts, but you do, and you are honored and blessed. And that's our prayer, that all that we are and all that we give honors you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will praise.
And I thought the children were hard to follow. Thank you, Valera. Thank you, Celebration Singers. Thank you, Terry. Wow. It's once again my pleasure to share with you from the Word of God as we go to the Gospel of Luke this morning. We're continuing in our Lenten series. So let us go now to Luke 18, verses 35 through 43. And may the people of God be blessed by this reading and hearing of God's holy word as we find it in Luke 18, 35 through 43. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We are having our series in Lent called Lenten Revelations. And we're looking at statements said to Jesus as he was going toward the cross. Last week we looked at the life of Peter and the statement of, "Lord, I would never deny you." And we thought about how we deny Jesus all the time and how it's the very grace of Christ which saves us. And today we're going to look at this shout out by blind Bartimaeus, "Lord, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, you know, everyone just loves Stevie Wonder, don't they?
Oh, yeah, baby. Like a fool, I went and stayed too long.
There you go. Gotta love some Stevie Wonder. We just marvel at his extreme talent despite his blindness. Well, it seems that there was an afternoon where Stevie Wonder was sitting by the pool at a country club, and along comes none other than golf pro Jack Nicklaus. He saw Stevie Wonder, couldn't believe it. He went down and he sat down next to him. And as the conversation went on, naturally it went to golfing. And so Stevie said, "Yeah, I'll play a round or two." Jack Nicklaus had just about your reaction, was just taken aback. And he said, "Really? And just how do you play golf? You know, if I'm not offending you." And he said, "Well, it's very easy." He said, "My caddy goes down the fairway as I'm about to swing the club for the ball. And so I just listen to his voice very carefully, and I hit in that direction." Nicklaus is just stunned. And he says, "And then to get toward the hole, caddy goes down the fairway a little bit further, shouts out to me, I follow his voice, hit it again." Nicklaus says, "Well, okay, how do you putt?" He said, "Oh, well, the caddy gets down next to the hole with his mouth right down there and calls out to me. And I just putt toward the hole, toward his voice." Nicklaus is just listening to this. He goes, "Wow, He said, I'd sure like to play with you sometime. He said, really? He said, well, you know, most people don't take me very seriously. I charge $10,000 a round. Nicholas kind of gulped and he said, well, that's quite a bit of dough, but you know, I'd really like to play with you. When do you think we could get together? Stevie Wonder said, you just name the night. Aha, it took you a little while. This morning I want to talk to you about a blind man. A blind man named Bartimaeus. He was not a professional singer like Stevie Wonder or the late Ray Charles. In fact, he didn't have a nickel or a dime to rub between his fingers. He didn't have anyone, really, to take care of him, much less an entourage. But he spent his days sitting by the side of the road, just hoping for a shekel or a piece of bread. Now, before we explore today's text, I think it's important to back up a couple of verses here to verses 31 through 34. And we see Jesus is walking to the cross. He has his disciples with him as he's accomplishing what he came to do. And here's the text in beginning with verse 31. We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples didn't understand any of this. They just didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Now, this is the third time in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is predicting his death. And with each prediction comes a little bit more detail. And the disciples are hearing all of this, but they're still not comprehending exactly what this means for Jesus, exactly what this means for them. Now, as you continue to read in the Gospel of Luke, you notice that in chapter 9, that there's been a shift. There's a definite shift in this journey of Jesus to the cross. And it happens in chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke, the 51st verse. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem. Resolutely set his face. Physically, spiritually, mission-wise, the whole thing. It's all focused on Jerusalem. And what awaits him in Jerusalem? The cross. He's approaching his death, his resurrection, his ascension. That is all that he has his face set toward. Now, I want to share with you some verses depicting the journey. Because sometimes we just go fast forward to the cross. But Lent is nothing else if it's not a journey. So hear these verses. Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village. The 13th chapter, 22nd verse. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. The 13th chapter, the 33rd verse. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. 17th chapter, 11th verse. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. The 18th chapter, the 31st verse. We're going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the culmination of this three-year mission and ministry. Now, he was headed to Jerusalem, but in our text today, he is clearly in Jericho. Now, Jericho is located 15 miles before you get to Jerusalem. And Jericho is an interesting city because it's 800 feet below sea level. So it's very tropical. It's a very moist and hot climate. And yet it's like an oasis for anyone journeying toward Jerusalem. An oasis because it's known for its freshwater springs, and it's known for its lush palm trees. And so because of this refreshing nature, then, a lot of people would gather in Jericho on their way toward the annual celebration of Passover. Now, as Jesus headed into Jericho, he met this blind man named Bartimaeus. And according to Mark's account, who also records this incident, in the 10th chapter, verse 46, the man was begging. He said to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And in that one short statement, I find four things that this blind man is teaching you and me today about our faith. And the first thing is about his blindness. You know, blindness was a common problem in Palestine in that day. In fact, there was a village of Jaffa that had 5,000 people in it, and 500 were blind. The Old Testament law and the Jewish heritage, God's people were to care for the blind. Hear what is said in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verses 14. "Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord." There was clearly a cultural bias against those who were blind. There was even a religious bias against those who were blind. And we see an account of that religious prejudice right here in John 9, 1 through 4. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither this man or his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God can be displayed or manifested through him." So there was this absurd prejudice that if you were blind or afflicted, that it was because you sinned, or it's because your parents did something terrible. And so God was punishing the parents by giving birth to an afflicted child. Absurd prejudice. But here we have that it's this stigma in that day. And how do you get past that? This man was ignored. This man was ostracized. And because he was blind, his whole life was resigned to a life of begging. He had to resort to begging in order to just live from one day to the next. In the Gospel of Mark, we learn this man was wearing an old garment. Well, you would expect a beggar to be in an old garment, but that was, again, just another signal, kind of to stay away. He's dirty. He just has this one garment. We don't want to have anything to do with him. He obviously is a sinner. I mean, stack it one thing upon another, and you have no self-esteem, no sense of self-worth whatsoever. He just sat there waiting day after day after day, hoping that something good would come his way. He was hoping that something would happen to him because he knew he could do nothing to change his own condition. And as I read that and as I thought about that, I thought, how many of us do that? How many of us just wait for God to do something to change our life for the better? And have you ever wondered if God is just kind of waiting for us to do something to change our relationship with him for the better? Amen? This man knew that he was blind, and so did everybody else, as we go to verse 36, when he heard the crowd go by, he asked what was happening. This man was so smart. We know that people with disabilities, we know special needs, we know people that have these things about them in their life that they have to overcompensate for that lack of what they do not have with something else. And in that is a blessing, because another sense, if you will become keener. We have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful couple in our church, the Thompsons. They attend the 8:30 service, so you may not know them. But she is mostly blind and he is completely blind. And if you'll recall that accident that happened near Burger King about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where someone ran over Bob and left him for dead, and his blind seeing eye dog right there stood right there by him. And he is such a living, walking miracle. And Asbury prayed him through. And Bob is just a tower of strength and a tower of faith. And I admire him and Marilyn with all my heart. And it was with that blindness, that lack of physical vision, that this man had developed a keener sense of listening, acute hearing. And he heard the people, and he could tell it was a huge crowd of people. And he knew to position himself right there amongst a huge crowd of people as they were going to Passover. And he held his hand out. More people, more money, more odds for the money, right? But not only that, is he was listening to what they were saying. And they heard them talking about Jesus. And they were talking about this healer, of what Jesus was doing in this ministry of his, this outstanding ministry of the wonderful miracles that he had performed. And can you imagine, you're sitting there and you need a miracle, and the man that might be able to do it is coming your way? He's in front of you. Can you imagine how your heart would race and you would be filled with such hope? It's almost too good to be true. But the second thing this man teaches us today is to hold on to your belief. To practice, not just hold it, but to practice your belief in Jesus Christ. He impacted people by his belief. And he impacted the people with his belief in that short phrase. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heard that, because in that one statement, the man is recognizing Jesus as Messiah, as a long-awaited Messiah. Now, up until that point, people had referred to Jesus as the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. Not this man. This man was proclaiming what even Jesus' own disciples didn't realize, that Messiah was in their midst. He knew that this Old Testament reference pointed to the very Savior of the world. He's the God-man sent from heaven to be the Savior of the world. He was expressing faith when no one else was. He was expressing faith in the one he knew could heal his blindness. He acted on his belief. So he teaches us blindness. He teaches us belief. But he teaches us boldness. Bartimaeus knew he needed mercy because, again, there was nothing he could do about his situation, about his condition. And so he called out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy." And those who led the way, we just read, rebuked him, told him to be quiet. Now, think about this. You're in Jericho, and you're the mayor of Jericho. And you've got a few of your councilmen with you. And you hear this everyday common beggar calling out to almost the guest of honor, Jesus. And you're in the midst of trying to impress Jesus with your beautiful city. I don't know why, but suddenly I just thought about Mayor Stoner and Andy and Mayberry, and they're showing somebody around. Okay. Reel it back in, Mary. Okay, so maybe that's what they were thinking. That's why they were trying to keep him quiet. Maybe they were just embarrassed that he was making such a scene. Because he didn't call out once, right? He called out twice and even louder. And he stopped the entourage. He sure stopped Jesus in his tracks. Are you and I so bold that we find ourselves crying out to Jesus in need? Or are we liable to hold it in? Are we liable to internalize? Because we don't want anyone else's disapproval if we were to come in front of everybody and pray. Or if we're going to sit down with somebody and pray, we don't want anybody to see us. Or if we ask to be put on the prayer list. Or if we ask our Sunday school class or our circle or our friends to lift us up in prayer, do we stifle that? Because we don't want to be pitied, or we don't want disapproval. I think we have to learn from this man's boldness. Let me share with you a wonderful scripture. It's taken from 2 Timothy, and it came to me as I was putting this together. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, 7th verse. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That would seem to me for the Bible to warn us that we should not focus on self. I can fix this. I can solve this. But to give it to the throne of the grace and mercy and say, "Lord, I can't change this. It's too big for me. I need you. I'm counting on you. Forgive me when I don't come to you for everything, both my joys, happy times, as well as my times of deep sorrow and great worry." And finally, this blind man teaches us about blessing. Not only belief, not only about his blindness and the prejudice in society toward it, not only about boldness, but about being a blessing. Verse 42, Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed, glorifying God, and all the people saw it. That is a spiritual principle I'm not so sure that you and I are not locking into as we should. That Jesus Christ responds to us when we practice faith. He has taught us Do not worry. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry, and yet Solomon in all his glory has never been adorned like one of those. Look at the birds of the air. They're not worried if they're going to have supper that night. Jesus teaches us over and over, do not worry, because when you show worry, then you're not showing faith. Jesus responds to faith, maybe not in the time frame that's our schedule, maybe not in the form that we anticipated. Have you ever thought that we might be blind to what Christ really wants for us? What Christ has purposed for us, designed for us, tailor-made just for us? You give it to God and you let it go. You give it to God and you trust. Jesus is looking for more Bartimaeuses today. He is. No matter how small the matter, Jesus is looking for more Bartimaeuses today to cry out for mercy, to reach out for Jesus. Jesus loves to answer your prayers. He does. Because Jesus loves more than anything else in this world to heal us from the inside out. And when you pray and you lock hearts with Jesus, you can't help but be cleansed and healed from your heart on outward. Have you ever seen anyone healed? Have you ever seen anyone experience a miracle that had a frown on their face or quiet lips? And the blind man's faith caused real healing. He couldn't help but praise the Lord. He couldn't help but glorify God. He was thrilled. I read a couple of weeks ago in the paper about a man who had been blind for 40 years. And he lived in Spain. And a doctor performed some kind of miracle surgery on him. And he could see. For the first time in 40 years, he saw his wife. He saw his children. And by that time, 22 grandchildren. And when the reporter asked him how he felt, he said, "It felt great until I looked in the mirror." And I looked older than I thought I would. And I didn't look so good. But he said it with the biggest smile on his face. Bartimaeus may have gotten his sight back. But the greatest miracle for Bartimaeus was his life was transformed. His life was changed forever. Not only because he could see and be more productive again rather than always leaning on everybody else to help him. But the faith that he already had, you see, like that muscle weight that Laura was using a while ago. Oh, he couldn't wait to exercise the faith to even a greater strength. And strength it was as he left praising God. And if you think he shouted loud, "Son of David, have mercy on me," you hadn't begun to hear the shouting and the praising that he was going to do for the rest of his life because of Jesus. Bartimaeus' life was transformed from a blind man to a believer, from a follower to a leader, from a beggar to a bold witness, from needing a miracle to sharing hope. Why are you here this morning? Because mom and dad said you had to? Because you'd feel guilty if you weren't? Because Pastor Mary would sure hunt you down and ask about you. I hope to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, that you're here because you love Him, you want to worship Him, and you know worship revitalizes you like nothing else can. But what do you do with that good feeling you have after you leave church? You go and have lunch, maybe read the paper, maybe help the kids with Monday morning projects and homework that's got to be done, and just get on with the rest of your day? Or do you invest in that revitalization? Do you invest and say, I'm going to nurture this. I'm not going to let it leave me. I'm going to nurture this every day with the prayers that my church, clergy, and staff have done and made available to me. I'm going to use my upper room. I'm going to read the Facebook devotional by Pastor Mary. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray my prayers. I'm going to make my prayer list. I'm going to nurture this that I have right here and let it carry me till I'm back again, almost running on empty on Sunday, and get filled up again. And during the week, I'm going to share it. I'm not going to hoard it. We're here to be blessed at the altar of God, to go out there and be a blessing. Amen. This morning, I think we need to follow the lead of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, by having a change of focus from darkness to light. Oh, my friends, that's called conversion. And we're going to have a change of direction from sitting and begging to following. That's discipleship. And we're going to have a change of purpose. Again, from begging to praising, that's worship. And we're going to be transformed by having a change of scope. Blessed to be a blessing. That's evangelism. Blindness, belief, boldness, blessing. Jesus is asking you a few questions this morning. And Jesus isn't a 50-something aged female voice. So hear the voice of Jesus, however you imagine that, asking you these questions right now. How do you need my mercy? What do you want me to do for you? Do you believe I will help you? And maybe the most important question of all, do you believe in me and my power to change your life? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we invite our celebration singers and band to come forward today. We'd ask that you join me in prayer. Most loving, gracious Father, we are all so guilty of being blind to the ways that you're trying to direct us into a good place, so blind to our own stubbornness that we are not allowing you to lead us. Blind with our shyness not to share the good news of the gospel. And blind just waiting on you to do something without taking initiative ourselves when we already call ourselves after your Son by saying we're a Christian. Oh God, forgive us of our blindness. Open our eyes to a faith that transforms not only ourselves but the world. And may we walk out in steps of faith, practicing the mercy that you give us day in and day out, not judging so much, but offering more compassion and understanding to others. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Would you stand with us and sing this final song? I hope you've heard at least one thing this morning that you can take away through the sermon, through these songs, through our singing. Take them with you out of these walls. Hope to see you again next Sunday.
you've been blessed today. Say amen. Amen. Oh God, as we go forward now into this world, we go knowing that we are the key to sharing what you have already shared so abundantly. We are to be the channels of your love. May we go forward now in the love of God, the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit now and forevermore. May we walk steps of peace in Christ. Amen.